All right, check me out. Thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you in San Francisco, but around the world, syndicated and on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show a two-time World Series champion, Jim Leyritz. He's here on behalf of AthleteDirect.com, another brainchild of our friend Brandon Steiner. Jim, welcome to the show. AthleteDirect.com, is this a way of taking your memorabilia and making it easier for the shoppers to access? What's going on here?
Yeah, Rick, hey, appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's one of those situations where, you know, there's been so much out there that, you know, that you cannot trust sometimes what you're getting, what you're ordering, whether it's coming directly from the athlete or is it something that somebody, you know, it's developed a fake. I mean, there's so many things out there that have been happening. And, you know, Brandon has had the name in the business, the reputable name in the business for many, many years. And this is just another one of his brainchilds that says, listen, you know what, why don't we do a couple different things? You can get memorabilia, you can get product, but you can also directly connect with the athlete. And, you know, you can do some fun things by directly connecting, kind of like what Cameo and some of the other companies are doing, but doing it more directly with the athletes.
Very cool. You know, and I heard you're going to be on the show. Obviously, we think about your days with the Yankees and the heroic events, but you played for the Kentucky Wildcats, and I was out here in the Bay Area. We had a few Wildcats. We had Colin Cowgill with Oakland. We had William Van Landingham with the Giants. What was it like in those days playing for the Wildcat baseball team?
Yeah, see, back then, it was funny. I just did a podcast for Rex Chapman the other day. And, you know, Rex is a former UK guy. And mm-hmm. he got there the year after I had signed with the Yankees. But I went back for my last semester in his first year at Kentucky. And, you know, he was Mr. Basketball back then. But, you know, playing baseball for Kentucky back then, we were like the third fiddle. You had basketball, which was, you know, even to this day, the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. And then football was just starting to get, you know, pretty good. And baseball was kind of like the third fiddle. So it was a little bit different. But, you know, it was really awesome just to be part of the University of Kentucky. And, of course, you know, I was a basketball fan growing up. So for me, it was a special treat to be there.
Sure. And you're also one of those guys who, with your batting stance, you know, which was unorthodox, how many hitting coaches on the way up said, all right, we're starting over here because you can't hit like that? I mean, I like the hitting coaches that say, hey, look, whatever works for you, let's do it. But I'm sure there were guys who said, no, this is all wrong. How did you yeah. fight that off?
Yeah, it was interesting. My first year in Double A, I had just come up from Fort Lauderdale. I led the league in hitting and came up to Double A the next year. And Darren Johnson was our hitting coach. And Darren was, you know, he was a swing from the heels and that, you know, type of hitter, a home run type of guy, but not much of an average guy. And, you know, he saw me in batting practice one day hitting some balls out because I had some power, but I was more like, you know, almost like a Wade Boggs type of guy where I had the power, but I used more discipline to hit the ball because I wanted to hit for average. And he convinced me my first year, you need to listen to me. You need to do this. And he had me change my stance to hit like Eric Davis. If you remember Eric Davis,
sure.
You know, he had a crazy different stance. And I think I ended up hitting like 252 or 255 that year. And I did hit a few more home runs, but not that much more. And I just said, I came back the next year and Darren Johnson was gone. And we had, you know, Buck Showalter was the coach. And, you know, Buck had me in Fort Lauderdale when I led the league in hitting. And he said, Jimmy, go back to what you were doing back then. And I did, and sure enough, in 1989, I hit .315, and I led the league in hitting again. So, yeah, it's one of those situations that sometimes when it's not broke, don't try to fix it. And, you know, and people always ask me, can you teach my kid to hit like you did? And I said, well, the reason I hit like that is because out of high school, I broke my ankle or my foot, and I couldn't swing for 4 weeks, and that's how that stance came about. So if you want to teach your kid to do that, you're going to have to break his foot. I don't think you want to do that.
It's funny you mentioned Darren Johnson because as we're about the same age, and as being an Oakland guy, those three World Series teams, he was kind of a hero for us in 73 in the World Series. And the next year, Charlie Finley cut him. So it was kind of a weird thing. But I remember Pete Rose said that he never saw a guy hit the ball harder than Darren Johnson.
Yeah, you know, I had two hitting coaches that was said about both of them was Frank Howard and Darren Johnson.
Wow.
And those are two pretty powerful guys.
Yeah, Frank Howard, legend. Also, I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, because you played all over the diamond, but you were sort of Andy Pettitte's, like, personal catcher, right? And if he was pitching, you were in the lineup no matter who the other pitcher was, right?
Yeah, it actually started in 1995 when Andy first got called up. He was having trouble throwing to Mike Stanley, and he thought Mike couldn't handle some of his pitches that he had, the little cutter that he had that was really, you know, his main pitch. And one day walked into Buck Showalter's office and said, Buck, and, you know, Jimmy's been catching me in the bullpen in my work days. I like the way he frames the ball and, you know, he catches me. Can you give him a chance to catch? You know, I want to throw to him. And Buck said, sure, we'll do it. And, well, we went out and we had a great game. And we ended up going 9-3 for the rest of that season. And then, of course, Buck gets fired and 96 comes and Joe Torre comes back and, you know, takes over. And Andy walked right in and said, Joe, can, you know, I want Jimmy to be my catcher. Is that possible? And Joe said, hey, listen, he'll catch you 99% of the time, but if we got a tough left-hander pitching, I want to get Girardi's bat in the lineup too for a right-hander. And so I can't promise you every time, but Jimmy will catch you the majority of the time. And sure enough, I think we were 19-7 that year. So just a good, you know, a good relationship and an opportunity for me to be in the lineup every day.
No, good stuff. And obviously, we remember you as a Yankee, but you played for a lot of other teams after that in short stints. So what was it like when you walk out at Fenway and you're wearing a Red Sox uniform? I'm sure there were a lot of fans that still hated you, right?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, the good thing that is, I had 1 year break. I went from the Yankees, I went to the Angels and the Rangers in 97. And it was kind of a, you know, all right, Larich is no longer a Yankee. It's okay. He can come to Boston now. It wasn't like a Johnny Damon or, you know, these guys that from 1 year they're a Red Sox, the next year they're a Yankee. It's a lot harder to, you know, to embrace somebody like that. I kind of felt like I was pretty embraced. But the one thing that I got the Boston fans on my side as soon as I showed up is I did my first interview and they said, what is it like for you to come, you know, to Boston after playing for New York? And I said, well, believe it or not, I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio. The Big Red Machine was my team back in the, you know, in the 70s. And I was a bat boy for the Reds in 74, 75, 76, the big years.
Wow.
And my biggest memories as a kid is the Red Sox series against the Reds with Carlton Fisk's home run, with all the stuff that happened with Eddie Harmbruster and all the stuff that happened during that series. That's my memories. I was more excited to play my first game in Fenway than I was Yankee Stadium because it was part of my childhood. And I won the Boston fans over right away when I said that.
That's some great stuff. All right, before we go, at athletedirect.com, what are some of the items you got going, Jim?
Yeah, you know, I wrote a book in 2011 that really wasn't much publicized just because of the time that we were going through and things that were happening. But my book's on there. Of course, we have the 25th anniversary of the 96 home run, which is, you know, probably to this date one of my biggest moments. And then, of course, we have pictures and some product of the 1999 last home run of the century. But yeah, no, and again, to me, the other great thing about it is reaching out to the fans directly and having a conversation or calling a kid on his birthday and actually directly connecting with him. I think that's some of the great things that Brandon's doing, you know, with this. And of course, you know, he's partnering up besides myself. You know, he's got Mark Messier, he's got Aaron Boone. You know, he's actually getting coaches with Tom Coughlin. So he's doing a great job of bringing in a good group of guys that people will probably be excited to hear from and connect with. And of course, get some of that memorabilia. That's, you know, part of the Yankee history.
There it is. Athletedirect.com. Check it out. We've been speaking with World Series champion Jim Leyritz. Hey, Jim, enjoyed the conversation, man. Thanks for stopping by. Let's do it again sometime.
All right, Rick. Thanks for having me.